Okay, good morning. Happy Memorial Day. How many of you knew somebody that was killed in a war or something? Okay, most of us have. And that's what Memorial Day is all about. As Dieter says, memorials to honor the dead. Veterans Day honors the veterans. And we do need to thank God for those who died for our freedom. Any prayer requests this morning? Where's Trudy? How's Jim doing?
He moved in on Tuesday. The staff is absolutely amazing. The food's actually pretty good too, and I get it free, which is really nice.
Wow.
I was 24/7 until yesterday, last night. He's still settling.
Okay.
He does not want to be there, obviously, but he understands why he's there.
Okay. So. Pray for Jim. And you know, it's always a hard transition to move into assisted living or care center or whatever. Other prayer requests today? Who's got a prayer request? Everybody doing good? Anybody need God in their lives today? All right, Marilyn, good. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Gorgeous day outside. And Lord, a day that we remember those who gave their all for us. We thank you for it and for being able to set aside a day to remember them. Lord, we thank you for our church here. We thank you for each member, each family represented. Pray for the needs that are here that we know about. We pray especially for Jim. Lord, help him to get settled in and enjoy his life there, to make the most of it, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for your word. As we open your word, open our eyes and our minds. Help us to understand more about what you have for us today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, today we're going to look at a bunch of lost stuff. What's the title of it? Things Get Lost. How many of you ever lost something? Come on. Anybody lost anything big and important, expensive? Lauren, what'd you lose?
My wedding ring.
Oh, my goodness. Are you still married?
Yeah.
He went running to a Coke can, popped the top, put it on, and said, still married. Anybody else? Yeah. Huh? Oh. Well, Pat lost the diamond out of her wedding ring. We got married in 84. We lived in Ottawa, Canada from 84 to 88. And she lost the ring. They lost the diamond. So we'd gotten it at Zales. So from Ottawa, we drove down to Plattsburgh, New York to Zales and told them, because it was still under warranty, and they replaced the diamond. So 6 months later or something, I don't know, a friend of hers were visiting us and doing gravy on the stove and Pyrex bowl. And she tells me, you shouldn't do that. Well, it broke. So gravy went everywhere. So her friend was down on her hands and knees, pulled out the drawer of the stove and was cleaning the floor. She said, oh, look, a diamond. It was her diamond. What's the chances? So it cost us one Pyrex bowl, right? So next time we were in Plattsburgh, we went to Zales. We didn't take the diamond. We told them, we said, hey, we found our diamond. And they said, oh, nobody's ever done that before. And they never called us. So our two boys, I don't want to say they're cheap, but neither one had to buy a diamond. When Chris got married, he used the diamond out of my late wife's engagement ring. And when Greg got married, he used Pat's old diamond. And so anyway, how many of you ever been lost? You ever get lost as a kid or anything? Of course, driving, the guys say, no, we're never lost. You know, we know right where we are, behind the wheel. Okay, I was probably 4 years old. I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I remember going, and we probably went way downtown to the big stores, Lip Brothers, Strawbridge and Clothers, Gimbel's, big 5, 6, 8-story buildings, the old downtown. Anyway, my mother was shopping. I was with her. I don't know where my brother was. And my mother was looking at dresses or something, one of those round racks, you know. So I pushed my way into the rack, you know, and I'm in there between all the dresses. And then I go out the other side, and mommy's not there. And I can still, I'm probably 4 years old, I'm thinking. I can still remember crying and walking away. You know, she's over there. Walking away, and some guy found me. I was probably lost for 35 seconds, right? But I can still remember that in my mind, being lost. Well, today we're going to talk about losing things. We got the lost sheep, We have the lost coin and the lost son, the prodigal son. And we're going to see what we've got to, what we glean from these passages and what Jesus is trying to teach us in this parable, these parables. It's in Luke 15, and we're going to be reading pretty much all of it, or you guys are going to be reading pretty much all of it. So let's start. Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Who's got that? Bill's got it. Good.
Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them.
Oh. Okay. So this the accusation was that Christ lowered himself by associating with sinners. Okay, so lowered is the missing word there. The accusation, he lowered himself by associating with these sinners and these common people and these tax collectors. The next sentence, this accusation is one of the greatest compliments ever paid to Christ. And that's kind of a weird statement. This accusation is one of the biggest compliments, greatest compliments ever paid to Christ. Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. Okay, now this is 19:10. Does somebody have that, or can somebody find it? You got it? 19:10? Who's somebody get 19:10? Okay. Okay, why did Jesus come? Did he come to be honored as a king? Right here it says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And where was he? He's associating with people that were lost. Okay? So it was he was performing his service, what he was came to do, his ministry. So, you know, this was, they meant it as an accusation, but really it was a compliment and really what Christ came for. In these parables, the emphasis is not on the sheep, but on the shepherd. The emphasis is not on the sheep, but on the shepherd. Because we think about the lost sheep. We don't talk about the lost shepherd, but the lost sheep. But the emphasis is on the shepherd. We're going to see. Well, go ahead and read verses 3 through 7. Luke 15, 3 through 7.
Luke 15, 3 through 7. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost until he finds it? And when he was found, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need it.
Okay, so it's really about the shepherd, right? The sheep got lost, he found it, and he's rejoicing. And we're going to have a song at the end talking about that. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner that is saved than over the 99 that didn't need to. Okay?
How many 99 that don't need
repentance are there? But it said, how's it worded there? Over the 99. Okay, so here we've got 100 sheep, one gets lost. So it's 1 in 99. Let's look at the coins, verses 8 to 10. Okay, so here, once again, the emphasis is not on the coin, but on the woman. Not on the coin, but on the woman, the emphasis. And then the third one, we've got two sections here. We're going to read Luke 15, 11 through 24.
Spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the
Okay. All these stories should be pretty familiar to you. And here he has the prodigal son. There's people that aren't Christians that refer to somebody as a prodigal son, don't they? Or as the prodigal. You know, and they don't realize they're quoting something from the Bible, you know. But anyway, here's his son. And you would think, why did that father, when he came home, he took half his dad's stuff, or a third of it actually, and squandered it, and he's coming back. And his dad sees him before. How many hours you think a day dad sat in his rocking chair looking down that trail thinking his son's going to come back? And he came back, and he was so happy and so much rejoicing because of that. So we had one sheep out of 100, we had one coin out of 10, and one son out of 2. And the coin, by the way, I was told, it could have been part of an engagement bracelet. There's some kind of bracelet or whatever made up of 10 coins, and she lost one. So it was more important than the fact that it was worth a little bit of money. But all these things were valuable. You know, to the shepherd, that one sheep was very valuable. To that woman, that one coin was very valuable. And to that father, that one son was very, very valuable. So let's look and see in these next few lines. Okay, the emphasis is on the son, not on the son, but it was on the father. Answer to that, father. But let's look and see if we can see the Trinity here in this. The shepherd, that's God the Son, seeking Savior, the seeking Savior. God the Son, the seeking Savior. The woman, God the Holy Spirit, searching, the searching Savior. And then God the Father is God the Father, the loving Father. God the Father, the loving Father, who receives every lost one who will repent and come to him. I mean, his son came in repentance. He said, hey, I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. Just make me a servant. I just need you. And so he gave him that forgiveness. So the actual Bible study, the title here, God's attitude toward the lost. What is God's attitude toward the lost? Roman number 1, what does it mean to be lost? We already looked at some of that stuff. You lost something or you were lost yourself. Anybody really got lost wandering into woods or something and you were lost for a while? I've got a story here. You know, Preach, the old guy from our old church, wrote these. And this is an actual true story. Probably back, does it have the date? But Preach graduated from seminary in 58. He started First Baptist Church of Security in 1958, and they met in his house. His house was on Easy Street. Anybody else ever live on Easy Street?
One block away.
Well, my late wife and I lived on Easy Street in Mississippi, Gulfport, Mississippi, at the corner of Easy Street and Briarwood West Drive. And actually, the driveway came off of Briarwood West, but you can only live on Easy Street once, so it was 84 Easy Street. The pastor used to say, they live on the corner of Easy Street and Work No More Drive, but that wasn't quite right. But anyway, this is a story. So he was pastoring, he started First Baptist Church Security. He was there for 10 years until 68. And they were running about 300. And he left there and went to Circle Drive Baptist, which was smaller at the time. But he says, a few years back, a 10-year-old boy who was attending Sunday school at First Baptist Church Security got lost in the mountains close to Deckers, Colorado. For 3 days and 3 nights, he was lost. In that time, 3 groups from Fort Carson Army Base mobilized the search. The 32nd Artillery, the 73rd Ordnance, the 52nd Infantry, however many people were there. Beside Fort Carson, there were others who participated in the search. Lowry Air Force Base, Colorado Civil Air Patrol, Bancroft Volunteer Fire Department, Rocky Mountain Rescue Unit at Boulder, Alpine Rescue Unit of Evergreen, Jefferson County Sheriff's Department with Bloodhounds, Colorado Mounted Patrol, Longmont Emergency Unit, and hundreds of individual volunteers. Anybody remember anything like that way back in this would have been probably early 60s. Okay, they put on a big search for this little kid. It doesn't say if he was found, I think he was. If Preach was still alive, I'd give him a phone call and ask him, hey, could you end the story here? But all because it's a terrible thing to be lost. If all that concern is manifest over one lost boy, and certainly it should be, why can't we be concerned for souls immortal who are lost and going to hell? So that's a blank there. It's an illustration how dreadful it is to be lost on this earth, how dreadful. And why aren't we concerned about souls who are lost going to hell? I mean, we may have family members or close friends or acquaintances and neighbors that we know don't know Christ. And what are we doing? You know, why aren't we concerned? If that little boy was lost, some of you would be out there looking for him, right? Or 20 years ago you would be, right? But, you know, why aren't we as concerned about a lost soul as we are as a lost boy? Okay, number two, Roman number two, ways of being lost. How can you get lost? Number one, the sheep represent the bewildered sinner. The bewildered sinner. He's confused. That sheep wandered off. He was confused, didn't know how to get back. So the confused or bewildered sinner. The coin represents the misplaced sinner. The misplaced sinner. It didn't realize that it was lost. And that's true of a lot of people today. They don't realize that they're lost and have a need to be saved. Okay, the next page. The younger son represents the willful sinner. Willful disobedience. Willful rebellion. The willful sinner. And the older son represents one who is lost by complacent pride and indifference. Complacent pride and indifference. We got to read about the older son. Let me go back to where that reference. Okay, Luke 15, verses 25 to 32. Remember, Dad just is throwing a big party for the lost sinner, for the wayward, for the prodigal. And the older son comes. So read those verses, Tammy. Can you identify with that older brother? I mean, I don't think it says how long he's been out there. Several years, I'm thinking, that he went out and the prodigal and wasted his money and all, and he comes back. The older son's out in the field working. Hears all this noise. What's going on? Oh, your little brother's come back. Okay. What's the big party for? Your little brother's come back. You know, Dad's happy. But what about me? Dad, I've been serving you faithfully all these years, and look what he did. He lost your money. You know, what about me? Don't I get something? And so we got to be careful how we respond on something like that. So wherever we were here, on top of the next page, number four, the older brother represents one who is lost by complacent pride and indifference. He was proud of who he was and the good job he's done as a faithful son. And indifference, I don't care if he's come back, you know. He doesn't deserve all this or whatever. So his attitude, his pride, and so sometimes we can see some of ourselves maybe in that. Okay, so Roman number one was, what's it mean to be lost? Roman number two, ways to being lost. And Roman number three, God's attitude to being lost. Does God care if we're lost? He does. Mark 2:17. Okay, so number one under Roman number three, sheep. That's tender compassion from God the Son. You know, Jesus loved the lost. We see him all the time ministering to the lost and the down and out and so forth. He had compassion, tender compassion. So that's the story about the sheep. Number two, the woman. The woman searched diligently searching. The woman is diligently searching, and once again, we saw this a little before, there's a few different words, and this is God the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit searching for the sinner. You know, who convicts you of your sin? Does Dieter convict you of your sins? Does your friend who's witnessing to you convict you of your sins? No, it's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting, right? The Holy Spirit works to convict people of their sin, their need for salvation. So that's a picture of the woman with the lost coin. And number three, about the Son, joyful reception by God the Father. When we get to heaven, there's going to be joy. When you were saved, the Bible points out there was joy in heaven. Angels were rejoicing. We're going to hear a song in a little bit that talks about the angels rejoicing over one person who's saved. The Father joyfully receives every sinner who will come to him. He joyfully receives every sinner who will come to him. So in this passage, we see these three different parables, three different stories: the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, the prodigal son, and how the shepherd dealt with that, how the woman dealt with it, and how the father dealt with it, and both with the lost son, the prodigal son, and the older son, and how God can deal with us in our different needs we have, and our, especially in our lost state. But there's also in this chapter, I don't know if you noticed it, how many times the word joy and rejoice was in there. And what book of the Bible, if you went through my Walk Through the Bible series, is the key word happily humble? It's a book all about being happy and rejoicing. There's a verse that says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Chapter 4, verse 4. What book is that, do you know? It's Philippians. And if you feel down, read Philippians. It's four chapters long. Even me, I don't like to read. I can read four chapters. And underline every time it says joy and rejoice and happy and stuff like that. But this one chapter in Luke, look how many times. Luke 15:5. Rejoice, that's the shepherd. He was happy. Any of you ever dealt with sheep? I'm sure some of you have. Are they dumb animals? They're loving. And if you lost one, you know, wandered off, and you went and found them, you'd be happy, wouldn't you? Because you really care about them. Anybody see the movie David that was out this last year? Anybody see David? What's wrong with you guys? Don't you go to the movies? Bunch of Baptists? Well, a bunch of us from church, we went to see David. No, actually, there are four of us. Me and Pat and Don and Judy. We were the only ones in the whole movie. It's one of these fancy movie theaters. I mean, you can sleep in these things. You know, these big fancy chairs. And we watch. It's a good movie. It's animated. It's about David. And he starts out with his sheep and all. And all up until the time he becomes king. Is it correct? It's got a little Hollywood spin on it. But it's a funny movie. Fun movie to see. But you see, David loved his sheep. And I think we can see that in the Bible. He loved the sheep, just like God loves his sheep. So the sheep, he lays the sheep on his shoulders, rejoicing. Verse 6, 15:6.
And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost."
Rejoice with me. I don't want to just hold this in myself. I want my friends to rejoice. Well, big deal. You got 100 sheep. One got lost. You found it. What are you rejoicing about? But that's the rejoicing that the angels do in heaven when one lost sinner comes to know Christ. Verse 7, 15:7.
I tell you that in the same way there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need.
There's great joy in heaven. Do you think God's just sitting up there twiddling his thumbs, waiting for everything to be over and start the wedding feast? No, he's got an interest in everybody on this earth. And when one of them comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, he's happy. And when the God's happy, the angels are happy. I think God's always happy. I think he's disappointed in us a lot. But there's joy in heaven when somebody comes to know Christ. Verse 9, 15, 9. So rejoice with me. Once again, she's rejoicing, and she wants people to share in her joy. And then the next verse, verse 10, 15, 10. Okay, remember that verse when you hear this song. There's joy in heaven among the angels over one sinner that repents. And then Luke 15, 23. We're about ready for the song, Lauren. Okay, so when the son comes home, the father throws a big party and there's rejoicing, making merry. So the whole emphasis of these parables is the joy that's in heaven when a sinner who's lost comes to know Christ. We see that with the sheep. We see that with the coin. We see that with the prodigal son, the joy in heaven. This is a song. Dieter's going to cover his ears. That's okay. It's a Southern gospel song, one of my all-time favorites. They get a little crazy in it. And this version was recorded. It's by the Hoppers. It's a family group. Mom and dad, their son, his wife. The other son plays the drums, and now they've got the grandkids and all in there. And they're called the number one family of gospel music. Anyway, we were in this video. It's in the Georgia Dome. There's 40,000 people. We're in the video. Okay, and 1998, the largest Southern gospel grouping of a group of people. It's called Shoutin' Time, and this one has five endings, and somebody in my family told me, don't you dare play all five endings. So I'm going to tell Lauren when to shut it off. But listen to these, I'll read the words to you first. Here's the words to the chorus. It's shouting time in heaven, a sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven, how salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flow, and now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with my Lord. My name's written down in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh, yes, it's shouting time. So keep your seats. No jumping pews. And see if you can find us among the 40,000. Lauren promised me it's going to work. There we are.
I will arise and call to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of Christ my Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. It's shouting time in heaven, a sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven, salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flow, and now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with my Lord, my name's written down in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh yes, it's shouting time. Long ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come back. Lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven. Salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flow. And now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with my Lord. My angels written out in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh yes, it's shouting time. Well, it's shouting time in heaven. A sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven. Salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flow. And now I'm feeling fine. And I'm walking on the highway with my Lord. My angels written down in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh yes, it's shouting time. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flow. And now I'm feeling fine.
three more, but we'll just do one more. Did you like that? You want the last two endings, I know. Yeah. They go again with another ending, and then they go sit down, and Bill's looking around and says, I want to hear that one more time. And they'd already pulled the CD out of the player to cue it. And so Kim, she's the screamer, she starts screaming, and they're getting things going, and she barely makes it, and they do it one more time. And you see Bill Gaither's almost dancing. You know, he used to be Nazarene, now he's Church of God, but... Anyway, and if you want to have excitement like this, you can come with us August 14th and 15th, 15th is anyway, Saturday and Sunday in August in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They're going to have a homecoming. Not going to be that many people, probably about 30 there. I think they're going to do a video. So we're in six videos, by the way. This was done almost 30 years ago in 98. And in 2001, they were at Red Rocks. How many people have been to Red Rocks? Okay. They did two videos out of Red Rocks, Red Rocks Homecoming and Rocky Mountain Homecoming. And then 5 years ago, we saw them in Greenville, South Carolina. I did two videos, and we were in those too. So if they do two more videos, we can be in eight videos. You don't see us, but we're there. Anyway, I mean, I get excited. I was born in Florida, went to a Baptist church. I hated Southern gospel music. You know, I like the Beach Boys, right? And the Beatles. And but God changed all that. And, you know, I admit I'm a Southern gospel fanatic, but you know, that song, you saw those 40,000 people excited. Can you imagine the angels when somebody's saved? The excitement in heaven. And I think they're going to sing that song. So anyway, next week, and I've already started on my lesson because we're going to be gone. We're going to ride the Durango Silverton train Wednesday, so we're going to be gone some this winter. Next week, we're going to talk about two sinners in church. So I'll need two volunteers next week for that. Anybody, anything to add? Anything from these parables that you gleaned that I didn't mention? You know, Jesus taught a lot in parables, and he did that for a reason. And these three parables really emphasize a point. So we need to rejoice over that soul. Scott, will you dismiss us in prayer? Amen.